Welcome to Hollywood, Minnesota, the show that looks at the links between the land of 10,000 lakes and the motion picture industry. This show aims to highlight the way cinema is a part of Minnesota's artistic and cultural heritage through interviews with local filmmakers and film festival coordinators, as well as profiles of Hollywood figures with Minnesota roots. On today's edition of Hollywood, Minnesota, I will be interviewing Matt Lyson, also known by the screen name Matt License, a local actor who has participated in the films of Gerbe Productions. In this interview, Lyson discusses his parts in local productions, the experience of shooting small films, and managing his page in the Internet Movie Database. Well, Matt, thank you for joining me today.
Thanks for having me, Nathan. I appreciate it.
Why don't you tell me a little bit about how you got involved with filmmaking?
2006. It was fall. It was my second year at Southeast Tech. And a gentleman named Jason Frickson, who goes by the screen name Jason Gerbe, approached me. Who also was a Southeast Tech student, and said, you know, I'm a local filmmaker. I'm looking to fill a couple of roles for a movie. Would you be interested? And I said, absolutely.
Now, had you known him outside of this already? Or?
Yeah. Jason was a colleague of mine at Southeast Tech, and I knew him prior to knowing that he was a filmmaker. And I also knew him because he was a classmate of mine in first grade. But from first grade through sophomore year of college, I totally didn't have no contact with him at all.
Does he contact you out of the blue?
Well, no, we happened to be in class together. We were in, I think it was Intro to Art or Intro to Music with David Eschlard. And that we got reacquainted, and I saw his last name, and I said, you know, I recognize that from elementary school. You, Jason, he's like, yeah, I can't believe you remember that. And I said, oh, and here, you know, and so it was weird. You know, here we were, you know, over a decade later, so.
Okay, so he asks you if you want to be involved in a movie, and did he describe to you what the film would be?
Yep, he gave me the synopsis. It was called The Lion King, and I don't believe that's on my IMDb. It hasn't been acknowledged by a studio officially, but that was the first movie I was officially in, and I played the role of a UPS delivery guy. The main character often got deliveries and packages, and I just played the role of the guy who brought the packages to him.
Okay, so this was just a small sort of a walk-on role.
Very much so. It was during the credits, at the end credits. It was a very tiny role. It took, I think shooting total took maybe a half hour. I was in the movie for a grand total of 2 minutes when it was all said and done. It's how it goes, isn't it?
So that was the first one, The Lion King. Now, did that ever get distributed?
No, it didn't. But though I want to clarify, The Lion King spelled LYI. The Lion King. So the idea was that this guy found some glasses, and if he made a wish, or if, you know, it came true. If he were to say something, it would come true no matter what it was. And then, you know, the movie was about him trying to have to go back and undo his mistakes and realize what he was doing.
All right. So the first film that's credited on your official credit, I should say.
Yes.
And,
yeah.
Your official listing, which you actually have an Internet Database entry, is Slandering Vassar.
Yes.
What's your role in that?
I'm actually the first person you see in the movie. I'm like this hitman, mob boss type guy who wears a really cheesy like jacket and a huge collar, and I'm walking in this parking lot at night talking on a phone with like kind of like the stereotypical East Coast accent, and you know, I'm trying to seal a deal because Vassar is actually my boss. And we later come to find out in the movie that Vassar's upset with me. So there's this car that drives by, and I'm actually a victim of a drive-by shooting. And so the movie opens with him killing a guy he's not happy with, and that happened to be my character.
So by the sounds of it, this is kind of a crime drama.
Yes.
Why don't you tell me a little bit about shooting?
It's really intense. I mean, you need a certain kind of moxie for it, if you will. You need to have a lot of energy. You need to be willing to acknowledge your mistakes and be able to go back over things 10, 15, 20 times. I mean, even if you thought you nailed it 7 times, the director, Jason in this case, will want it to see it 3-4 more times, maybe from different camera angles so he can do multiple takes on it. Maybe the audio wasn't quite there for him, so he wants to do multiple things. And so you need to be able to look back on the film and say, okay, what can I do better? What can I do differently? You know, do I need to up my voice? Do I need to throttle it back? Do I need to be more dramatic in my emotions? Do I need to, you know, tone those back? So it's a lot of going back over what you just have done and trying to change it and make it better within like seconds.
Now, you didn't come from a professional acting background.
Correct. I did not.
So how did you make up for that on set?
Well, I made up for that on set by looking at movies that I really look to as far as the acting went. So for instance, if I knew, I would always ask Jason, I would try to prepare as much as possible for the role. So I would always ask him, what kind of movie is it? What is my character doing? How do they intertwine into the story? And then I would do my best to go find movies with characters, and I would try to, I guess, mock what they were doing and try to, and then I would even go in front of the mirror and say, is my face right? You know, so I would, a lot of it was just very much on my own. I've had no professional classes. I've had no direction that way.
Right. And where was this shot, Slandering Vassar?
All over Winona.
It was shot in Winona.
It was shot in Winona, yeah. My scene in particular was shot in the parking lot of Midtown Foods along 5th Street specifically, where the loading dock is on the building between there and 5th Street and that little parking lot there. And the car that was used as the drive-by car happened to be just this lowrider old school Impala from the late 1960s that was driving past. And that was good stock footage, you know. It was great. It was, you know, so Jason just quick grabbed his camera and filmed it, and we used that as Vassar's car. And so the timing was just right. So I was right there on the corner of, I think it was Walnut and 5th Street. It was right in that parking lot area in there where I filmed my scene.
Right. So Slandering Vassar was followed by a TV series, right?
Yep.
And this TV series was called CIA Man.
Correct.
What can you tell me about that?
CIA Man is really funny. About 15-minute episodes. They're I guess, what you would call shorts. Kind of what the Three Stooges used to do, just very 15, 20-minute episodes, very tiny things. But they're fun. I mean, you could film those in a night for sure, as far as, you know, raw footage goes. And as you can see here, I was part of the second episode of the first season. So episode 1.2, if you will. He approached me about it and said, would you like to be in this TV series? I said, absolutely. You know, broaden my horizons, get more experience. This is great.
So was this TV series shown on television or was it distributed over the web?
It was distributed over the web. Gerbe Productions has their own YouTube channel. And I believe it's Gerbe TV is what you can find it as. And you can find all his CIA Man on there. So.
All right. There's, we've got two more credits available. They're Too Small was the next one. What can you tell me about that?
Of the four credited projects on my IMDb, this one's by far my favorite.
Tell me a little bit about it.
This is a great story, and actually the video I have, the one video on my site, is actually a teaser trailer for that film. And this is a movie, and it is a dark commentary, you know, on dealing with personal issues. So this is about a girl who is, she's got small hands. She's got very small hands, and that's the whole vehicle. So it's a humorous spin on, like, well, who cares about small hands? But the idea is that it's to extend into, well, you know, maybe I'm too short. Maybe I, you know, don't wear the right clothes. Maybe I, you know, get made fun of in school type commentary. So it's things you feel inferior about that you have to inevitably confront in life and move forward. And it's about that girl moving forward. And my role in it was, I was in her nightmare as she was going in for a teaching interview the next day, and her nightmare interviewer was myself as the principal, and what I was going to say and do to this girl in the interview because of her inferiorities about herself.
That's interesting that it would be in a teaching interview.
Absolutely.
You graduated from Winona State University with a teaching degree, correct?
I did, yes. December 2010, I walked with my Bachelor's of Science in Elementary Ed and Early Childhood, and I've been a practicing substitute ever since, and I am actually starting my second, well, I have started my second year of grad school here. I started in fall 2012 in the education leadership department. So,
well, as I mentioned, you actually have an Internet Movie Database entry, and I thought that was interesting. I find that always interesting when people who have either small parts or people who have, or especially small parts in minor movies as opposed to big Hollywood films,
right,
have entries, and have entries that are as filled out as yours are.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, how did that entry come about? Did you pursue this?
And this is my understanding. So I just want to make sure I'm on the right page with you. You're asking how these movies made it to IMDb.
Well, I'm wondering how you made it to IMDb.
Okay. These movies were all shot in the years that you see in here. So Slandering Vassar, 2008, CIA Man, 2008, They're Too Small, 2008, and then Back in Nam, 2012. Jason, when he moved out to Los Angeles, he was working on other projects, and he was picked up by a small studio, and I cannot for the life of me recall the name of the studio that picked him up. And he was doing a spin-off series of Paranormal Activity called Abnormal Activity, and it was a complete spoof on it. I mean, it was just making fun of it to the gills. And since that studio acknowledged those movies because they were being produced under their studio, they looked at these other projects of his, and then they gave those, I guess, and again, this could be the completely wrong term, it's not official, but studio recognition, if you will. And when, once you have studio recognition, you go on to IMDb then. And so they must have seen these projects and said, we're going to give those people credit, and they're on IMDb. So that's how I came to be on IMDb.
Interesting. So Jason Gerbet and Gerbet Productions get picked up by an established studio.
Yes.
And then retroactively, all the work that they had done ends up getting recognized by IMDb at that point.
Yes, yes. However, not all the work. I mean, there are actually, this is only a fraction of my resume as far as acting goes. There are several movies where I play the lead that aren't even on here because, and it's also part of my bio. My first lead was Delivery, and that was the one we started shooting after Lion King. So it just depends on the movie. It depends on whether or not they've been reviewed, whether or not they've made it to IMDb. And my hopes is that someday they will because... Pardon the bias, but I think that'd be awesome.
So the IMDb creates the page once they've authorized these films to be listed.
Correct.
And then did you go in and fill in like biographical information?
Yeah, I did the bio myself. I also filled in my birth date. And in order to get your birthday and where you live on there, you need to prove to IMDb that you were actually born that day. So I had to find a link to my birth certificate and send it to IMDb just for them to be able to publish that on the web. So, I mean, although I am a very, 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 very minor person on this website, they still take it very seriously. It's not like anyone can just have an IMDb. It's not like having a Facebook or a Twitter account or a Google Plus account. Like, you need to go through the proper channels and be acknowledged by a studio to even have an account. So,
what can you tell me about working on a small independent production? Convey that experience for me.
In one word, excuse me, in two words, exhaustingly fun. And that really, it needs to be that vague from both ends because it is extremely exhausting because you were doing way more than acting. You're carrying equipment. You're having to endure the elements. I mean, these are low budget to almost zero budget films. You work with what you have, whether that's a building you're in or being outside. It's very hard to bring in internal factors to influence or impact how your shot's going to look. So again, you need a lot of energy and you need to be very diverse as far as maybe you need to hold the camera a couple times because, you know, Jason acts in his own movies. And sometimes you need to be the director of production just for a couple of scenes. You need to be the camera director. You need to be the one to say, Jason, you know, I liked what you did here, but could you, so you actually, you switch roles. And so the director, writer, editor, Jason, it becomes the actor, and you're the one who has to take over, use some judgment, and, you know, he looks at it too, but you really, you need to use your judgment as well. Does the shot look good? Do you need to move the camera? Do we need to put, like, a blue light here or a green light here type thing? And it's a very dynamic experience.
Did you have any involvement with these things after shooting?
Things such as...
In the post-production process or anything like that?
Yes and no. I would say more no than yes. If anything, during the editing process, which on a screen looks extremely overwhelming, it depends on the software you use. But Jason, and I mean, I remember once I was over and he sat me down and he said, well, do you like this shot or this take here better? And I said, well, I like the audio from that one, but I like how everything looks in this one. Is it, you know, so it's a matter of patching. So there's some post-production. But personally, not really. I mean, there's nothing that I've done as far as original music goes or cutting and cropping and editing myself, no.
All right. There's a couple other credits you have listed here. Back in Nam, you're credited as the police officer. What is that?
Yeah, Back in Nam. This is about a guy, and the main actor in this one, his name was Cody, and he was a riot. He's from Rochester. And I have no idea where he is now. I think he could be in Wyoming or California. Only heaven knows. And this was about a 2-hour production. Oh, it was all said and done. And this was about a guy who had post-traumatic stress syndrome, but in a very humorous way. I mean, it's not like he suffered from depression or anything. He was just complete, like, everything was, like, amplified to the T with humor. I mean, everything was funny. He didn't take anything seriously. And what he did take seriously were very trivial, superficial matters. And so my role was a police officer. And again, for the life of me, it was a very small role. But it was fun to do. We filmed that one behind what is now Chrysler Winona. In the detail area, there's a parking lot out there. At the time, I worked for Underdahl Toyota. So I was able to film back there. And it was a small role. And I believe my fate was I was looking for a cat under a car. And this psychotic girl who was hopped up on drugs, this is her role in the movie, ended up crushing my head with the car. So it was a very dark fate for my character in that movie. But it was fun to shoot. I mean, it was a very tiny role, but again, it was good to get back into it, because as you can see there was a couple of years between They're Too Small and back in Nam. So,
mm-hmm. What has been the result of these films? Are they available on the web? Are they on DVD?
It depends which movie it is. A lot of them are available on the web, especially the TV shows on Gerbe TV. That's just the YouTube channel. Other than that, these were very private productions. We'd have the premieres at someone's house, and we would all clap and laugh and have just a great time. I mean, that's really what it was for, was Jason getting his feet wet in the industry, kind of experimenting, having his friends, you know, work for him pro bono. I haven't been paid a dime for this stuff. This is all very much like I've got a friend who has a passion. It sounds interesting and fun. I'm on board with it. Mm-hmm. And that's really why what drove me to do this. So
one of the words you keep using is fun.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds like you'd like to continue doing this.
Absolutely, I would. It's hard, though, because Jason is in Los Angeles and I'm here in Winona. Mm-hmm. I'm pursuing a teaching career and, you know, along with that grad school. So if Jason ever comes back or needs me for a role, I mean, I'm always all for it. I always tell him that. I go, Jason, you ever need me for anything, you know, if it's audio, we can do something over the phone if that's possible. I mean, I'd be more than happy to do everything I can for you. And it is, and it's very fun. And he's always been very kind about everything too. He's never been pushy. He's never been bossy. He's been very understanding. So it's been a great guy to work with.
What do you see as the advantages and disadvantages of shooting in a place like Winona?
Disadvantages. I want to get those out of the way first. I always want to end on a good note. The disadvantages, I would imagine, are that of any other location. You're going to see something as a production person and think, boy, now that would be an awesome place to shoot. That would be a great building to shoot in. This would be a great time to shoot. But when it comes down to it, you're restricted by permission, trespassing, daylight, you know, personnel. It all comes down to those. So I would say the disadvantages or the cons are that of everywhere else. It's a matter of what you can do in your surroundings, because it's not like we're, you know, filming you know, a big movie where you can, you know, take a couple of streets in New York and say, hey, no one walk or drive here for half a day. We're definitely not on that level at all. We are at the mercy of the environment around us. The advantage to that is actually the same as the disadvantage. With that, you have a diversity of places you can explore and can go. And at no one time have we ever violated kind of laws as far as trespassing, being somewhere we shouldn't. We're always very respectful and conscientious of that. But the advantages are you really have a lot of diversity as far as places you can go. You can make your movies dynamic that way.
Sounds like most of the films that you've been involved in were shot in Winona?
Yes.
Or around Winona?
Yep.
You named some of the places that you shot. So it sounds like you got permission for all these places.
Yeah. I mean, given to the, like Midtown Foods, public place, film for 15 minutes and leave. It's not like, you know, and I think Jason knows the owner. At least that's what he told me.
So it sounds like a lot of favors were asked in order to get these films made.
Well, it depends. It depends on where we went. I mean, again, we didn't go anywhere that we weren't supposed to be, but we were. Yeah, I would say if Jason was somewhere where I would have thought, well, is this off limits? He just says, I talked to the guy, it's fine. Okay, no, I trust that, so.
Are you looking to do any more film work?
If I am, it's on the same caliber that I have done. If you're looking at being in the next Star Trek movie kind of thing, I think that'd be a lot to ask of me and overwhelming. But if it got to that point, great, but I don't see it going there. I see my acting career kind of being where it's at. I mean, I'm not a professional actor. I'm a professional teacher, and that's my dream, and that's what I'm going to do. So,
do your students know that you have been in these films?
One group did. 2 years ago, I was teaching up at Wabasha Kellogg, and I had a group of fifth graders. And we got toward the end of a class period, and, you know, they were winding down. It was toward the end of the year. I mean, there wasn't a whole lot of work to give out yet, as far as, like, the busy work, if you will, to fill up time toward the end of a class. As a sub, that's a really big challenge, but I digress. So I thought, you know what? I have a smart board here. I'm going to pull up my IMDb and see if I can get a conversation going. Just because at that point, I just discovered that I had one. So I pulled it up on the smart board, and, oh, they got it. That was a huge riot. It was great.
Is there anything else you'd like to add?
Not the top of my head. I mean, like I said, I think if I had to go back to something I said earlier, it was that the only four films on this site, or shows, if you will, are only a fraction of the work I've done. And that's simply because those have not been yet acknowledged by a studio. But Jason hopes that they will be someday. I hope they will be someday. So other than that, I'm quite content with where I am in this. So
that concludes this edition of Hollywood Minnesota. Thank you to Matt Lyson for joining me today. This program is made possible by a grant from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. This has been Nathan Wardinsky, and be sure to join me next week for another edition of Hollywood Minnesota.